Good morning, everyone. It is Wednesday, February, is that 4th? And present at the table are Senators Machicki, Bishop, McKinnon, and Hoffman. Senator Dunleavy is not feeling very well this morning. He's down in his office. And I'm not sure about Senator Olson if we're going to see him. Seems like the building is sick and there's lots of folks missing. But anyway, we press on. And today we're going to hear, let me surreptitiously put on my glasses so I can read what's in front of me. We're going to hear the capital budget, which is SB 26. Senator McKinnon will be chairing for that. But first, I guess we will hear the SB 27 and 28, the operating budget and the mental health budget. Just a quick presentation from OMB Director Pitney. Pitt, could you come on up? Pat, what are we looking at in the next few days? We're going to do this and then the supplemental and did you, when Senator Dunleavy asked you a couple weeks ago about detail, when can we expect some detail?
So
is it just going to be the statutory deadline or
no?
Okay.
We plan to have detail to you tomorrow.
Oh.
And so we're just going through the final, getting, collating all of the details so it comes together in one package so there's not just piecemeal stuff coming from different departments. So
in some respects, it's a little bit of technical stuff going on here because we need to hear the bill. We've got to have it before us and noticed and get the some comments on the record so that we can proceed forward between now and the next 80 some days. So this is where we start. There may not be a high level of detail. I'm sure you can answer some questions that the committee may have, but just for the committee's information, we probably aren't going to dig very deep into this because you just don't have it yet. Is that correct?
Well, you know, we have some of it rolling around, but
sure.
You don't have anything in front of you really to look through, so it would be easier to go into depth after you have a chance to really look at the detail.
So just be sure and identify yourself for the record there, Pat, and let's go.
So for the record, my name is Pat Pitney. I'm the Office of Management and Budget Director for Governor Walker. I wanted to introduce Senate Bill 27, the operating budget. The bill that is before you was the work in progress status.
I'm going to interrupt you. Just make sure we have the roll call done. Senator Olson is here, so we have a full committee except for Senator Dunleavy. Go ahead.
So Senate Bill 27 is the operating budget. The bill that's before you was the work in progress budget of the previous administration that we used as a placeholder to submit on the statutory deadline. In the overview last week, we presented the kind of the magnitude of the amendments that will come for this. Those details are what will be received by this group tomorrow. So all of those details will come in. So the operating budget you have here will be smaller by over $100 million than what this particular budget is. And if you remember the overview, what was it, 10 days ago or so, that provided a good view of what the operating budget will be. And just in short, the operating budget for agencies non-formula, on average, it was a 6.5% decrease, roughly $140 million reduction from last year. And, you know, a few of the things that, you know, that will come in the details that you will see on corrections, a reduction in the community jails program for Department of Administration, some reorganizations, as well as some IT reductions and reductions in some of the grant programs, health and social services. There's reductions in some of the, like what, for example, one reduction is in the senior benefits, a reduction in the payment amount for the higher level income eligibility group. So not a complete elimination, but reductions. So it's those kind of things that you'll see in the details that come for the operating budget. And kind of the what we anticipate is when the details come to you tomorrow, you have a chance to look at all the details, and then we can go into more depth on the overall discussion and the operating budget. So,
but Senator Bishop, did you have a question?
She answered. Thank you.
Okay.
So I have one question.
Senator Machicki.
Yes, Ms. Bitney, through the chair. So essentially it's just timing.
Correct.
Have not had the opportunity to convert this into the revised budget. Is that correct?
Correct. And to get it in front of everybody so that we can have a full and in-depth conversation. So.
Follow up.
Go ahead.
In front of everyone means first the administration and then back to finance. Is that what you mean by in front of everyone?
So we've looked at it from the administrative standpoint, and we're compiling all of the details, getting them in one package, and then we'll transmit them tomorrow.
I got you. Thank you.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm trying to put all of this into perspective. You say 6.5% to $140 million reduction from this budget, but when the governor had made his state of the state or state of the budget address to the state of Alaska, he was looking at 5 to 9%. So
okay.
I'm wondering, are we going to see it closer to 9 or closer to 5, or what's the anticipation? If you don't have that today, I'd like a briefing on that, and then overall what our draw is for this year and what our draw is for next fiscal year, because we didn't anticipate $50 barrel oil even this fiscal year, and we're drawing down $10 million a day. So I'm just trying to wrap around my head how large of a problem we have, and is 6.5% or even 9% going to be adequate to have some kind of a landing without going on life support?
Right. So,
go ahead, Ms. Pitney.
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman. I'll give you three numbers. 5% is the reduction between the work in progress budget, this particular operating budget, and for non-formula agencies, between the work in progress budget and the governor's amended budget. The 6.5% number is the reduction from agency non-formula operating budgets from the 15 management plan to the amended budget. 9% reduction is when you combine the operating budget and the capital budget, management plan 15 to the governor's amended plan. So all three numbers are correct. They're just slightly connect to different starting points and end points. So so all three are connecting in this particular group. Excuse me, can you repeat your second question?
The other one, and if you don't have it today, what was our original anticipated draw for this current fiscal year on the CBR, and what do we anticipate it to be? What will it be next year? So I can get a sense of where we are, what impact to the savings. We know basically where we are on the savings account, but what are the two draws, and after next fiscal year, where will we be, given the fact that price of oil has dropped dramatically this fiscal year that was not even anticipated. We are anticipating it for next fiscal year in 16. But if we can, if I can get those figures tomorrow, that would be greatly appreciated.
Yeah. Actually, I can give you in global terms the through the chair, Senator Hoffman. It's $3.5 billion is the estimated draw for 2015. And with the 9% reduction, which is a $550 million reduction in unrestricted general funds 15 to 16, if oil stays at $50 a barrel, the draw will be about $3.5 billion. If oil goes up to the $66 a barrel oil, then it's going to be in the $3.2 billion range. So if oil stays at $50 a barrel, the savings is depleted at the middle of fiscal year 18. If oil goes with the forecast that Department of Revenue forecasted, then the savings last through 2022. So those are the two ranges that we're working within.
So, Mr. Chairman, in 15 and 16, the potential burn could be as high as $7 billion in 2 years.
Senator Machicki?
So I'm sorry, just to clarify, the work in progress was 1.5 reduction from the FY15 budget. The budget we're going to see tomorrow is an additional 5%, adding up to 6.5% from the 2015 budget. And when you combine operating in capital, the total is a 9% reduction over FY15.
Correct.
Under FY15.
Under, yeah.
Okay, thank you. All right, perfect.
Go ahead, Ms. Pitti.
Okay, we'll move on. Actually, there's one other point I wanted to make in the operating budget. There are three primary reductions within that 6.5% that are due to the Medicaid expansion. One is the in Health and Social Services, the CAMI program. The second one is in reduction in some behavioral health grants, a small reduction as behavioral health needs some reform prior to the full reduction in the behavioral health grants. And the third piece is the amount in corrections health care that would be covered by Medicaid. Together, those add up to about $10 million reduction that it has to do with Medicaid. And Medicaid federal funding is in the operating budget as well, and that's at estimated at $450 million. So just two pieces that are in that capital budget. Moving on to the mental health trust budget.
Oh, Pat, could you bring the mic a little bit closer, please? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Moving on to the mental health trust budget, Senate Bill 28. That's
before we
Senator Machicki.
Ms. Pitney, before we move on, so the 6.5% total operating reduction that we're going to see tomorrow, focusing on the operating budget, the two models that you ran internally were which percentages that the governor requested of the departments?
We looked at a 5% and an 8% reduction.
Okay. And I know that you said that was an internal exercise and we may not be privy to a lot of that information, but you also explained to me that we could visit with the commissioners for some additional ideas if we're looking at going deeper than 6.5%. Is that correct?
Correct.
Were you, you've been around the block and know this budget probably at this point as well as anyone. Were there areas that you identified where you would be interested in going a bit deeper that wasn't adopted by the administration?
Through the chair, Senator Machicki, we we're trying to balance between.
Rumachicki, could I just interrupt here? Let's not have Pat answer that, because that, if she answers that question to your satisfaction, it'll put her at odds with her boss.
How about if I rephrase the question?
Go ahead.
So we're going to be going through the budget subcommittee exercises. We're going to be spending a lot of time with your commissioners. I know I personally am interested in certain areas and going deeper. I don't believe in across-the-board cuts. the way to phrase it. I guess the way I would phrase it is we know that we're not at the low-hanging fruit point anymore. We're at the point where additional cuts are going to hurt someone. I mean, and that's just sort of where we are. Mm-hmm. We know we're going to get to that point. Do you believe your commissioners have some ideas in mind without putting anyone at odds with their boss? That's not my goal. Mm-hmm. It gets to the point where it's our responsibility to go further if we choose to do so. Do you believe they have some ideas on gauging? I want to hurt Alaskans as little as possible, but I believe we need to go deeper. Your commissioners probably have the best idea on where those areas lie that will hurt the least amount of Alaskans but get us sort of the biggest bang for the reduction buck, if you will.
Through the chair, Senator Rumachicki, we have challenged each of the commissioners to look at their budgets and say, you know, in 3 or 4 years, if you were 25% of what you are currently today, what would you look like? What would be your suite of services? Which statutes would we have to revise to allow you to operate at a 25% reduction? This particular budget is a balance of taking a first step towards a significant overall reduction. And the commissioners would be the right ones to talk about what are the various impacts. The public discussion just based on these reductions are going to be loud. This will not be viewed as low-hanging fruit. People will say, you know, how could you choose this over this? Some programs have come down. You might see a large reduction. The village public safety officers looks like a large reduction. In 2007, it was a $5 million program. Last year, it was a $16 to $17 million program. There is a reduction to the $16 million number. It's well above the original five. So partly it's looking at the reductions and putting it in context with what is still left within that program. But as the budget rolls out, as people see the detail, as people see the programs that are going to impact them personally, we're far from low-hanging fruit in this first one. Having said that, we know that we're going to have a smaller footprint of government, and we'll continue to look. And it is this body's prerogative to suggest what the appropriations are.
Quick follow-up.
Go ahead, Senator.
Yeah, I certainly hope it's done in a fashion that focuses on teamwork. Again, I know my goal is to impact as few Alaskans as possible, but impacting Alaskans also looks forward on liability for future generations. So it's a balance. But thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Just before I go to you, Senator Bishop, I had a question and a comment. So, Pat, if you do take a 25% reduction over the next 3 or 4 years, what does that do to our glide path? And my question would be, is that 25% reduction restricted specifically to the agencies, to the day-to-day operations? Okay. So that's about, if it's 25% to day-to-day operations, that's about $500 million.
Yeah.
Okay. And are you in discussions without getting into any specifics, obviously $500 million, if you pull that off, you'll get a high five from me. I mean, I'm not trying to diminish that effort. That would be a Herculean task. We have to do it. But to impact our glide path, I think we have to be talking about things other than day-to-day agency operations. And have you guys pulled together anything that might help us out in the larger drivers like Medicaid, education? There's nothing we do about bonded indebtedness. Maybe there is something, actually. Senator McKinnon may have some ideas. Go ahead and talk
about that. So, Senator Kelly, as you know, we're working diligently on the Medicaid expansion and reform. Cost neutral is a huge goal. Cost reduction would be a bonus. So that's out there. On the K-12 formula, the studies the legislature is commissioning, we anticipate large conversations over that in the summer on the K-12 formula. The 25% is around the agency operations, and you're right, it's about $500 million. What does that do, the glide path? We're at a $3.5 billion reduction, a $3.5 billion deficit if we stay at $50 a barrel oil. If we go back to the revenues projection, that $500 million fills the gap. $500 million is a huge stretch. Having agencies be 25% less and serve the state as the state expects to be served, that's a huge stretch.
Let me back you up just a moment. When you said the $500 million fills the gap, that didn't make sense to me.
If you go to the fall 2014 revenue forecast,
right,
they're projecting oil go down to $66,
right,
which is actually higher than what it is today in 16, and it goes back up to rate about $100 a barrel oil. If that revenue projection holds true, and we were able to reduce agency operating budgets by 20 to 25%, we would fit in to that revenue stream. Okay. Understand, 20 to 25% reduction in agency budgets may be lower than what is required to serve the state. So but we're asking that question.
There's probably 25 people in this room, and there's probably 25 opinions on whether we'll go back to that projection or not. So let's not discuss that, because that's that could go on all day. I see what you mean, and thank you for answering my question. Senator Bishop?
Just a more of a comment than a question is, you know, there's a lot of experience around this table with department budgets. Some of us have been in the administration at one point in time or another, and bear in mind that this is just my opinion, but we have some new commissioners that's never been in government before, and they're
welcome to the NFL.
Yeah, welcome to the NFL. And so with that being said, they are really getting to learn their agency operations, and So I know we will all work with them to give them some leeway, if you will, but also give them some suggestions to where we might be able to help them, because we're all in this game together. Thanks.
Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Following up on Senator Bishop's comments, we know that we have many new commissioner designees that will come before this body and different committees around the state. Can you tell us how many new admin service directors we have? Because those are the folks who may know and be giving recommendations and providing information to the new commissioners that are trying to learn about things. So how many new admin service directors do we have to support the incoming commissioners?
I'm not positive, but I think there's only two that are new.
So that is helpful
that
to provide
creates
some stability and comfort. If you could confirm that for Senate Finance, that would be helpful, just so that we know that your commissioners are being supported with people who understand their budgets. You did mention, Ms. Pitney, that very quickly about the Medicaid expansion being $450 million anticipated revenue in the Health and Human Service budget. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator McKinney. Yes, it's federal.
Federal receipt. And so I'm wondering if you and Governor Walker believe that you don't need the legislature to approve Medicaid expansion.
The legislative approval is required on the federal receipt authority. There's no other statutory language needed, but receipt authority for the federal funds is required.
So,
in order to expand.
So if I might, Mr. Chairman, so just to highlight that for Alaskans, the entire debate will be revolved around whatever happens at a finance committee table for advancing or not advancing versus what some have said is a transparent process where a bill would be introduced to accept it and that each committee and all corners of the Capitol would be able to discuss and weigh in on the process.
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, the process will be very transparent. The administration would be happy to present in whatever committee. It's from a statutory requirement. The need is through the budget process, but the presentations, the awareness, the impact, the programs, all of those would be presented in as many forms as desired.
I think Senator McKinnon's point is that it's a budget move. You may not have the opportunity to discuss it in multiple committees because there is no document in front of the committee, I think, under what we envision here. Is that correct, Senator McKinnon?
Mr. Chairman, I think that statement is fair. I'm just not sure that the people of Alaska will get the conversation. And I guess I just look at the federal government and how we have been saying that we don't really appreciate, and I'll speak for myself, I don't really appreciate the president when he uses executive orders to implement things without going through a legislative process. And I'll ask our legal if there is no statutory responsibility to bring something of this magnitude that, you know, if we're talking about $500 million, impacting our operating budget in a 25% manner, then we're also offsetting it with a 25% manner of expanding it that I absolutely understand will benefit many people. The number is in controversy, somewhere between 6,400 people, and I heard 11,000 most recently, and I've heard 40,000 in various media outlets. But when we hear about it, we'll know better the number. And so I just don't want to see a disconnect between communicating with the legislature on how we walk through the process, yeah. Because I think they're, and I know that you're concerned with the long-term impact, and I know that it benefits our people, but it does lay a responsibility on state government, depending on the criteria that we sign on for, that we will have to continue to provide that. We will bind future legislatures and legislators in having to provide those services whether we have the funds to do so or not. Might benefit us short term right now, but right. Again, trying to take the long look. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And, you know, just to follow up on that, Pat and others, that 40,000 number, we need to get off that. I don't think you guys are using it so much, but I hear it a lot, and that number is, it probably never was accurate. It probably is down in the 11,000 or 6,500 person range, and I bring that only because there's some members of the press here, and check that number and check the validity of that, because we keep hearing that as a reason for the need, and honestly, I think that number was jettisoned a long time ago as being way over overstated by the administration in Washington, D.C. Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On a separate note, as the legislature, both in the Senate and the other body, move to review the administration's proposal specifically on the operating budget, how receptive will you be, and should we fear veto if we propose something that cuts deeper than you're proposing. The concern will be for the state of Alaska with a 6% overall reduction, and or 6.5%, and above that being strictly capital and one-time operating money. Is that enough to write us should oil prices stay low and we're through our reserves in 2 years instead of, you know, a longer period of time? How receptive will the administration be to cuts, and should we fear vetoes?
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, I am new to this, but I think the governor can only reduce the amount or eliminate the amount you put forward.
Veto the whole bill.
From a veto, or veto the whole bill.
Right.
Yeah. So I think the time during session, as conversations go on, there will be a balance. At this point, we hope we are working side by side, having, you know, direct communication, that there will be awareness on both sides, what's accepted and what seems unreasonable from the governor's standpoint. I think right now the governor's goal is to reduce as much as possible, with the balance of understanding we need to stabilize the economy, and we want to do this over the course of time.
And I would just say, as we kind of wrap up on this particular one, and then you're going to move on to the mental health budget, and then Senator McKinnon will chair for the capital budget overview. I think you'll find a lot of support with this committee, and certainly I don't mean to speak for everyone in the majority positions, but I think you'll find a lot of support from us in some pretty tough calls that you're going to have to make. When I was here years ago and we were going through this same situation, although certainly not as extreme, there wasn't that willingness between the bodies to work, and it was just a nightmare. It wasn't good for the people of Alaska, and I just want to tell you, please feel free to go places maybe you hadn't thought you would go before, and you'll find support probably. There's going to be disagreements, there's no question about it, but we'll try to keep them respectful and constructive. So I just say we got to have more. We're going to try to find more. We'll try to help you find more, but really you're the keeper of the knowledge. You know more about this than we do, and so we'll be looking to you for answers as well. So you want to do any other questions before we go to the mental health budget? Pat, did you want to finish? Was there something to finish up on?
No, I was ready to go to mental health trust.
Okay, let's go. Senator Hoffman.
I have one other question. And I was going to save it for later, but you had mentioned the reductions in the community jails, and that's fine. That might be what needs to be done. But in the scheme of things, that seems very minute. But since you brought it up, we've had incidences in Dillingham where a VPSO was killed, and in Tanana where two troopers were killed. And I guess I do have the budget for corrections, and I'm concerned when someone in one of the villages does something bad. I plan on discussing this with the commissioner. What are the alternatives, and what is going to happen in those instances when the whole community is at risk with someone that has committed a violent crime and there's no place to lock him up? And I don't expect you to answer that, but since you brought that up, you know, these are the tough choices that we're going to have to make, but it is going to affect, it has affected in the past two communities, and I represented both of them over time, but it is critical for the health, welfare, public safety of many small communities in rural Alaska. I just wanted to put that on the record.
You know, Senator Hoffman, I'm glad you did. And I think it's worth stating this, that there's a lot of rhetoric that has been thrown around over the years about, you know, just budget to meet our constitutional obligations. And though that's probably a good goal, it's not very realistic in some respects. But when you come to public safety, that's pretty blatant constitutional obligation, a blatant constitutional obligation that we have. And that's kind of what we're down to now is starting in our criteria with what do we got to do? And we should do it well. And then the next thing is what affects most Alaskans. And I think that is in the communications you've had from my office to the subcommittees is start, as you're looking at your subcommittees, start with those criteria. What do we have to do? And what affects the most Alaskans? And just kind of prioritize them. Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Along the corrections line, there, I know that you're aware of the audit that we just concluded that had some information to evaluate and prioritize investments in corrections. And one of the issues that at least the LB&A committee talked about was a statutory change in the ability to allow, instead of having to move those alleged violations from one community to the other, to stand in front of the courts, that we provide telecommunication opportunities, something like telemedicine, for the courts as a way to save money. And the only reason I bring it out now, Mr. Chairman, is that I'm hoping that the administration is looking statutorily at how we're delivering services and is ready or stands ready to move on some things that we could save money with by just changing how we go about doing things. So specific with courts, if you can video teleconference into a courtroom without violating a person's constitutional rights, it might save us some money and still, you know, from the legislature's perspective, have those local community jails available. I know that we have, specifically Bethel, I believe, is in great disrepair and needs some capital money that I'm aware of to actually stand that facility up. So hopefully we're taking a holistic approach, that it's not just about cutting, but there are things statutorily that the governor can move forward on, the administration can support, that would reduce costs.
Thank you, Senator McKinnon. Go ahead, Pat. Mental health budget.
Yeah. So the mental health budget that came through on December 15 is relatively unchanged. The only change to it is on the Medicaid expansion. They will pick up the administrative, the share of the administrative fee. It's about $1.3 million for the start of the program. And that's the only change we envision at this point for the mental health trust bill. Otherwise, the bill that sits before you is the endorsed mental health trust bill.
Thank you. So. Senator Machicki.
Quick question. Can you just kind of give us a breakdown similar to the other in comparison to the FY15 mental health budget as well on percentages?
So I was coming in to get the bill number on the table, and I apologize. I'm not ready on the mental health trust bill as well as I was on the operating bill.
Perfect. Thank you. I can wait.
You know something, you bring up something. Last year when I spoke to the budgets on the floor, I kind of half apologized because we look at the mental health budget almost as a perfunctory thing that we do, and we just kind of pass it along because there are some obligations that we have and some court cases that we adhere to. But I really want to know a little more about the mental health budget this year, and I haven't told my staff this yet, but we're going to prepare a report. Great look. We're going to prepare a report that probably better informs the committee on the mental health trust budget. It's an important thing, and in my years in the legislature, I don't think I've ever seen it given the attention that it's due. We'll probably take it up a notch this year. And Pat, if you just want to leave it at that we've heard it and noticed it, and just understand that we probably are going to want to have a little deeper detail this year, and maybe that is conversation with staff so that we can prepare that report. It may not be, you know, peppering you with questions at this committee. It might be. Senator Machicki?
Well, that was my goal, Mr. Chairman. I noticed last year we just sort of took the mental health budget and slid it over and supported it, and it deserves, it's not insignificant, deserves some scrutiny as
well. Yeah, no, that's our goal this year. I agree. So we're going to have to take a brief at ease and change out chairman, and stand by.
Good morning. This is the Senate Finance Committee. We are resuming a conversation on Senate Bill 26. It's an act making appropriations, including capital appropriations and other appropriations. Ms. Pitney, could you please present the bill?
So, for the record, my name is Pat Pitney, and Office Management and Budget Director for Governor Walker. The Senate Bill 26 is the capital budget. Again, the capital budget that you have presented from December 15 was a very stripped down capital budget. It was $106 million, and it pretty much only included Department of Transportation federal match requirements. Between December 15 and the amended budget, which the project line items were provided about 10 days ago, and the detail will come with the rest of the detail tomorrow. The project write-ups will come tomorrow. But 10 days ago, we presented a capital budget of $150 million general fund and $1.4 billion total, primarily federal match on the other funds. The components were the transportation and federal match and federal leveraging. That also included some DEC water and sewer projects. Some energy weatherization and housing funds, significantly less than in prior years, primarily through AHFC. And a very small continuation of maintenance. It's that we viewed maintenance as pay it now or pay it later, and keeping a small amount going on major maintenance for schools, public facilities, and university was a smart thing to do to maintain some investment in that. If we don't invest in that 4 or 5 years from now, we're going to be putting in 3 or 4 times as much. Safe Communities is with other funds. It's through Department of Public Safety. Continuation of two small programs. Rental assistance for victims, and domestic violence and assault intervention programs. So those are the two Safe Community items. Again, the small amount for Arctic Policy. This is in for work by the Special Assistant for Arctic Policy, Craig Fleener, to work with the commission, the Arctic Commission, Legislative Arctic Commission, to take advantage of the U.S. chairmanship for the Arctic Council over the course of this next 2 years. Essentially, we have this year and next year to put Alaska's policy on the front burner of the U.S. policy and the Arctic Council it's a really short time frame with the U.S. chairmanship that we need to take advantage of. And so this is a small amount of money, but if we can get Alaska's policy in front and center, we'll do ourselves service in the future.
Are there questions from committee members? Brief at ease. We're back on the record. Again, any closing comments that the committee should consider, Ms. Pitney? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. One of the things that concerns as we look at the capital budget, and you talked about briefly in the last discussion, you talked about having more telephonic communications between, especially the rural areas, because it's so expensive to go out there, including telecourts. Do you anticipate there's going to be any support for increasing the broadband width out there in rural Alaska so that indeed this thing can be happening? Or is there discussion on it at all?
So at this point, through the chair, Senator Olson, the discussion on broadband will be through the Department of Administration. Commissioner Sheldon Fisher's just come on board. Use of technology is a huge priority. Getting to the exact pieces and parts yet to be determined. I think broadband is an important one. It is not in this budget.
But it has been discussed.
It is in the infancy of discussion, but it is a priority.
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Any further questions or comments from senators? Seeing and hearing none, we meet tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. With that, we're adjourned.